Christina LeCure, and you will be joined by Jim Harris in mere moments. We are here signing folks up for a cancer prevention study that you'll actually go through the brief process of getting your information to them in a couple of weeks. But they're asking folks to sign up today while we are here. And if you come by and get yourself signed up, they will throw you some free breadsticks from our friends here at US Pizza, 710 Front Street in Conway. You can also sign up online, although it'd be difficult for me to email you breadsticks. CPS3conway.org if you want to get in on it. And again, basically, you have to be between 30 and, what do we say, 65.
And you got to be able to come and do your testing between August 6th and 10th.
Yes, and you can't have had cancer before. So that's what they're looking for. It's pretty.
But don't feel like you have to be healthy or anything. Like,
no, I'm terribly unhealthy.
What Esther was talking about earlier. Don't feel like you have to live a perfect life.
Heavy drinker, heavy smoker, they'll take you too. It's
exactly.
All good.
Exactly. Everyone.
They don't encourage it, but they certainly welcome you to the study. They need 500 people signed up, so let's get it going. Let's go to the Revolution Hotline. Talk to Jim Harris of Sporting Life Arkansas. Good morning, sir.
Hey. Good morning, guys.
Hey. What are you up to?
Heading to Stuttgart to speak to the Stuttgart Rotary Club today here at noon.
Okay, why don't you give me a preview of your speech? That could be the source of our conversation today.
I'm not sure. Back of all trade. Sports columnist, and I guess outdoors is sports, but I'm an outdoor writer for Arkansas Wild, as you know, and and I played really good golf yesterday, by the way. So I don't know, maybe they want me to talk about my golf game.
Nice, where'd you play?
I played at Deer Run at the Air Force Base. Man, nice layout. I hadn't played in a long time, but the greens are as smooth as any around. They really putt it true. I enjoy true putting greens. I make more putts that way.
I have never played out there either.
I've never even heard of it.
I knew there was a course on the base, but I've never played. I didn't know it was called Deer Run.
Yeah, they used to have, I don't know, I mean, maybe it was because of the, you know, the pro that was running it or what, but they used to have a few ASGA events out there. They've had the, I know they had the junior boys stroke there. They may have had the men's stroke once. Joe Boucher, who's one of the top, well, he's a senior now, but I mean, he won several ASGA championships. He was assigned out there, and he I noticed on their wall he was a club champion. But you know, it's like Barry Varden. His name's up there about 15 times or so.
We're going to talk about the Open Championship here, but I was going to ask, because you're the only person I know that's a big enough golf junkie to have done it. Did you watch any of the other PGA event from last week? And Christina was talking about that before.
Come on,
the top
Jim,
of the
tell
hour.
Me you watched it.
Well, I actually watched it on a tape delay basis. I didn't watch it live. I was in Dallas all weekend, except for next Sunday. I watched, who was it that missed like a 4-foot putt and gave it to Woody Austin? Was that Summer? Or who's the other guy in the tie?
Cameron Beckham.
He missed, oh my gosh, he missed a 4-footer to extend the playoff.
It was a horrible putt, but you know
what?
He's
like
lucky
he straight in.
It was a horrible putt. He looked up and he pushed it way right. But the funny thing is he made probably a 35-foot putt he should have never made to even get in the playoff.
Yeah.
Daniel Summerhays is the one I kind of felt bad for. But you know what? Daniel Summerhays is going to play well for a really long time to come, and he'll definitely break through. But Woody Austin, it was really nice to see him win. And when he won, he said, you know, he could not even get a sponsor's exemption. And he knew that he was playing so well.
It seemed like he had to bite his tongue to almost go
nonny-nonny-boo-boo,
to these guys who didn't give him sponsorships all this time. He's able to get into this one, and he wins. And, hey, it's always a good thing, I think, when a guy about as old as I am can win a PGA tournament.
Yeah, 49 years old and makes over $500,000 for the victory the other day.
Well, not even about the money. He now has a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour, and he gets to play in the majors. I mean, this guy was thinking you know, senior tour for sure if he was lucky.
Well, we thought Ken Duke was old at 44, but, I mean, to be 49 as Woody Austin was, it's a
it's not his first win, but
it's been a long time. I can't remember the last time he won. The thing that stands out more about Woody Austin is him hitting himself in the head with his putter when he when he failed miserably back in the day. So
maybe that had something to do with him not getting those sponsor exemptions.
You know what, though? Yeah, he's like Happy Gilmore. He's kind of a ticking time bomb. I think it's awesome. Also want to give a pat on the back to Glenn Day, who, as Christina and I were looking through the scores, shot 7-under on the final day, 65, and finished 13-under, made himself a nice check of over $35,000. So that was impressive. Something else about the money, and we always are curious about this, I think the British paid $1.4 million. And, of course, Phil Mickelson had won the week before in the Scottish Open as well, and Christina had some numbers pulled up earlier about the amount of money he actually takes home, because we're always curious about that. And you were talking to me about the taxation over there. I didn't realize they're still getting us. They're PO'd about us kind of telling them beat it about
the
their
UK
taxation.
The UK is mad at athletes, let me tell you.
No taxation without representation, but they're getting it back another way now, it turns out, for Phil Mickelson.
Total, apparently, according to Forbes, total, Phil Mickelson will pay over 61% taxes on the $2.2 million he won in 2 weeks. They say he'll take home roughly $847,000 when all said and done.
This is some sort of special foreigner
tax?
He'll barely be able to gas up his golf stream.
His G7, yeah. He will hardly get any gas going back.
It's funny.
But no, UK is one of the only countries in the world that basically hates on athletes, because they tax athletes on sponsorship money, not only just prize money. So Phil, all the sponsor money that he was making that week, he will get taxed on that as well.
Foreign athletes or all athletes?
Foreign athletes. It's a foreign athlete tax. And it may be for their athletes as well, but like Usain Bolt will not play in the UK unless it was for the Olympics or something like that. Or they say that a few tennis players have not gone over there to play because the taxation is so high on their purse and their sponsors that for them they feel it's not even worth it to go over to the UK.
That explains why Rory McIlroy has moved from Ireland to Florida, I guess.
Well, a lot of people want to move to Florida. I'm surprised Phil has yet to live in Florida, move right up next door to Mr. Woods and Isleworth.
Well, of course, because they don't have income tax.
He lives in California.
Well, but they don't have income tax either, is my point.
No, I
don't forget, he's an Elotion member, too. We've got to connect.
He is.
So,
yeah. He is an Elotion member.
I mean, I claim Phil Mickelson now for Arkansas.
Just because he's a member at Elotion, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you feel about Phil in general? What's going to be your lasting impression of Phil Mickelson? Do you like him? You root for him? You just basically accept him as one of the greats of all time? I mean, where are you at with Phil Mickelson?
Me?
Yeah,
I root for him, but I always think he's just got that kind of goofy smile, even when he, like, you know, four putts a green, comes off with this goofy smile on his face. I mean, he tries really hard to be liked by everybody, unlike Tiger. I don't think everybody likes him. I think people who are on the tour have, you know, different feelings for some reason about Phil. You know, I don't think we know, the TV public or the people who watch, you probably don't know him. Well, we don't know him. I mean, it's not probably. We don't know what he's really like away from the game. But I'll tell you what meant something to me, and it tells me that he is a pretty genuine guy. It's when he and Bones McKay were, we hadn't won yet, but he had his three-shot lead, and they're embracing. And there's Bones crying, you know, for him more than Phil. I know Phil was tearing up too, but just to see that emotion between those two guys been together, team for 20 years, you know, it kind of added something to it for me. I think I'll look at Phil differently now. I think I really now. I've always thought he kind of fell short. And now I think he feels the thrill. Sometimes he feels chill, whatever you want to say. But majors and
Jim?
I think
we've lost
losing
it.
Him on the way to Stuckert.
Well, that happens. I mean, hey.
When you're going down that south.
Cell phones aren't what they used to be. It's 11:17. We'll hopefully get Jim back on. I was looking through some of the numbers today. The Democrat Gazette did a good job of comparing, and I guess they got this from the New York Times, but when you cannot compare. I don't care how much success Phil's had recently and how much success he's had since Tiger last won a major. When you look at their careers.
Oh, it's not even a comparison.
What's amazing is, Christina, how great Phil Mickelson has been for so long and still how he can't even scratch the surface of what Tiger Woods has done. That just shows you. I mean, this guy is a Hall of Famer, an unbelievable player, one of the greats. I mean, you can make a case he's one of the top 10 or 15 greats of all time.
Oh, for sure you could, as long as he wins the U.S. Open.
He can't get close to Tiger. I mean, some of the numbers are remarkable. He hasn't even won 10% of his starts in the PGA, which is no knock on him. I'm just saying. Tiger Woods has won 22%, 23% almost of his majors.
See, that's what I was trying to explain to you in the preacher last week.
26% of his starts. I mean, he's won over a fourth of the times he started. So.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to explain to you in the preacher last week when I was speaking.
No, we were debating something different. The debate last week was whether he'll be able to ever do it again. He's still winning at a high clip. You and I are on the same page, though, when it comes to Tiger. Let's see if we can get Jim back in here. Jim?
I'm sorry. I'm in the country by the part of Arkansas. But
We assumed that.
We've moved back into the old debate about Phil and Tiger while we lost you there. And Christina called in last week and got into it a little bit with the preacher about Tiger Woods and whether or not he'll ever get back to that major status. He has certainly played very well. He's always in the mix, it seems like. He's won four times this year. I mean, but again, Christina and I were talking earlier on the show. The bottom line with him is, it seems, he can't get out of his own way because of the pressure he puts on himself when he gets to the majors. And it's like if he could approach those four tournaments every year the same way he approaches everything else, he'd be fine, but he's having a hard time doing that.
He's turned into that guy that sort of like Phil, that he can blow you away in the players or something like that, but he's turned into the kind of guy that seems to put so much pressure on himself in the majors that, I don't want to say he chokes, but, you know, his putting progressively gets worse as the weekend goes on, and that's tense. That's tense muscles. That's just the overthinking it. We overthought the very first shot in the British Open, and he said so. He's had like eight thoughts going through his head, and he hits a 5-wood and absolutely cold banana hooks the thing. I mean, I don't know. I still think he's dangerous at Oak Hill for the PGA, but if he doesn't break through there with a major this year, I'm just kind of wondering if he's even going to get the next four or five.
You know what? I think we were speaking with Ian Baker Finch last week, and what Ian said was, when he gets his next major, which will happen eventually, he's still young. We're looking, you know, we're thinking of him as, you know, as soon as he gets that next major, it will be like winning for the very first time. It'll create a snowball effect, and it'll take away so much of the pressure until he gets there. But it doesn't even matter. Let's say Tiger Woods breaks both legs tomorrow and never plays another game of golf. He is still one of the best players you and I and Jim will ever see in our whole entire lives. Phil Mickelson can play for another 20 years and probably still not get as close to Tiger as he needs.
I'm not sure anybody will. Not
in our lifetime, I don't believe.
I mean, I started to think Rory might be the kind of guy that could contend to be the next Tiger, but now I'm not so sure. I don't know if he's that committed as Tiger was. No one was as committed.
Tiger is one in a billion.
I totally agree with you that he's playing like the guy now who's on his second life, so to speak, and he hasn't won that first major. I mean, he's got these 14 that were pre-2009, and then he's sort of in this new deal where, he's got to win that first major of these next five or how many ever he's going to do to break Nicholas and set the all-time record. But he can't seem to win that first major. He's like the guy who's fighting it, who's never won a major. Like Phil was in 2004.
Here's something to think about. By the time Tiger Woods is Phil Mickelson's age, mm-hmm. he will have played 25 more majors. So put that in perspective. Does anybody think if Tiger stays healthy that he won't have a chance to win majors at the age of 43 like Phil Mickelson has done?
No, there's no question.
He's going to play 25 more majors by the time he's Phil Mickelson's age. So his book is so far from being written. I mean, there is so much more left in his career. And, oh, by the way, Woody Austin just won at 49.
Exactly. And we don't even realize this weekend they were talking about Sergio playing in his 41st major. And I was like, did the math on that. I was like, is that humanly possible? And, like, you think about these guys. They started when they're 18, 19 years old. I mean, they've been playing for 10, 12 years. That's, you know, 40 majors.
Well, I'm sure to the 20-year-old it seems different, but to me, being in the Woody Austin age group, it doesn't seem like it's been any time since that day when Sergio and Tiger dueled it out in the, you know, the 99 PGA.
Or David Duvall, who was on Faraday last
year. Who's on Faraday, yeah. Who took away the number one ranking for a year.
Absolutely. I remember that duel all the time. You thought that those two guys were going to be 1-2 for the rest of the life. For the rest of my lifetime, right. And then, you know, obviously things change.
Jim Harris joining us on the Revolution Hotline, Sporting Life Arkansas. Again, he is on the road today, so if his phone cuts out, that's the reason why. Coach Bielema is on the road as well, and he has been making the rounds. Was on Jim Rome yesterday. We played some of that off the top of the show. Going to be, he is, I guess, currently on a number of different ESPN outlets, so we're going to get some of that on his appearance on SportsCenter coming up a little bit later this hour. In addition to that, we are talking, of course, here at U.S. Pizza in Conway about a cancer prevention study. And, Jim, back to football for a minute. I want to ask you, we've already talked SEC Media Days to death, but there was a story that came out today, SEC finalizing deals with its top seven bowl games, I guess, that are non-playoff games. This is a story that just came out on ESPN.com. After SEC teams are selected for the college football playoff semifinals, the next highest-ranked team will advance to the Sugar Bowl, of course, as we know. Also, in years, the Orange Bowl does not host the national semifinals. A team from the SEC, Big Ten, or Notre Dame will play in the Orange Bowl against the ACC. That's interesting. I don't know if that was newsworthy or not, but I didn't know that until this morning.
That's great. I don't figure Arkansas will be in that mix. And I don't mean about...
Not this year, but... Yeah.
Well, certainly not this year. I don't mean about strength of team. I mean, it may always end up where it comes down to taking a good Notre Dame team or a good Arkansas team, they may, you know, give us the diss. I'm sorry. I mean, we have been there twice, but it's a long haul, and everybody seems to forget that Arkansas traveled so well to those Orange Bowls, but, you know, it always seems like they think Arkansas is not going to travel that well, but they do.
It's been like 25 years, right, since the last one?
Yeah, they went in 86, so what is that, 20? The 86 season. So it has been 27 years.
After the Capital One Bowl, six bowls will be pulled together and share the next six selections. And those are the Liberty Bowl, the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, which Arkansas, of course, has played in before, the Outback Bowl in Tampa, which has Arkansas ever been in that, Jim?
No.
That's typically an Eastern Division deal, or like they'll take Auburn or Alabama if they're down that far. Alabama obviously hasn't been in a while.
Yeah, it seems the
The Gator Bowl and the Texas Bowl, which is played in Houston every year.
Oh, really? Arkansas has a good chance to go there.
Yeah, they would this year.
In a good season, yeah.
SEC's opponents in the bowl games that I just mentioned, the Belk Bowl is the ACC. Of course, it's played in an ACC country. The Gator Bowl is the ACC or the Big Ten. Music City's ACC or Big Ten. Liberty is Big 12. And the Outback is Big Ten. Texas is a Big 12 opponent. So that could be fun. Maybe get an old Southwest Conference rival.
So what's happened with the Capital One?
Capital One is... it gets the next selection after the Sugar Bowl, the Playoff Bowls, and in the case where the Orange Bowl is in play, they'll be next after that. So they could, you know, in some years be a little ways down on the totem pole, but, you know, it's still a good bowl game, obviously.
Yeah, we made two trips there. It was the Citrus Bowl at one time. It's a long drive. I've made that drive. It's better to fly.
The other story I saw today, I don't know if you saw this or not, Jim. We talked a little bit about the Ohio State issues yesterday, but the Big Ten story that stood out to me that I read this morning, is another athlete at Wisconsin getting mugged in his campus town. We talked about Monty Ball, the Heisman Trophy candidate from, a couple of seasons ago, who was attacked with some friends before the start of last season. This time it's Wisconsin quarterback Tanner McAvoy back with the team after being mugged in Madison over the weekend. The Badgers said he suffered minor injuries. His wallet, watch, and iPhone were stolen. Resumed team activities on Monday. According to the police report, he was struck in the head and had to be treated for two head cuts.
That would never, ever, ever happen in Arkansas.
Is that
ever.
Not crazy?
Ever.
I mean, I've never heard of an athlete being mugged. I've heard of lots of athletes
hometown.
Getting in fights. But to be mugged, and then it's the second time a high-profile athlete at Wisconsin. In Madison, Wisconsin is like, you're talking about, when you walk around there, it seems like the safest place in the world.
Yeah, like Conway, Arkansas.
Yeah, just like Conway. Is that
no
not bizarre?
No wonder Bielema wanted to come here.
No kidding. He can't protect his own players. He claims it was about not being able to pay assistance. It's because he couldn't protect his own players, so he had to get out of there.
They were all crazy. Getting mugged.
Is that not bizarre?
Yeah. I mean, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I can't see that happening in Tuscaloosa.
No, I don't think so.
Mostly the football players are treated like gods.
Exactly. Yeah, a little different deal over there. Jim, we're up against it here. We got to go, but yeah. Have safe travels down there, and hope you enjoy your time with the Rotary Club down in Stuttgart. We'll get you on again next week, and we'll talk soon. Keep up that good play. We got to get out. I want to see this. I want to see the
Jim Harris. Next week will be the Western Amateur. Just wanted to say real quickly, there are some patron badges still left through the Western Amateur. $100 to see it all week long. It should be a fantastic tournament. You're going to have just about every amateur in the world that's anything is going to be competing in this.
The WesternAmateur.com. Patron badges, like you said, still available. If you get them before noon tomorrow, they'll mail them to you. Otherwise, you can pick them up at the will call tent.
So it should be great. I'll be reporting from out there, so I'll try to give you a call if they'll let me use my cell phone.
Well, I'm going to be gone all next week, unfortunately, Jim. And I know Trey Schaap and Overtime, they're going to be live out there some. And then Drive Time is going to be live out there some. And R.J. Hawk, who's filling in for me, will be live out there some. So, yeah, there will definitely be a heavy buzz presence on location at Elotion for the Western
Am
next
fantastic.
Week.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Great.
We'll
thank you, guys. Thank you, Christina.
Thanks,
we'll
Jim. Good to hear you.
Jim, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate
see you later.
Be safe.
Bye.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk a little UCA football. UCA's defensive and offensive coordinators Brooks Hollingsworth and Matt Williamson are here with us at US Pizza in Conway. We'll visit with them about the upcoming season. Coach Conk and Brad Teague, as well as some other members of the sports information staff, are